Hello. It's Ari Rosenbaum, soon to be joined by Dan Venturi for another fun-filled episode of that 4RK podcast. This week's episode, we're going to talk about the reasons a plan sponsor should consider firing their TPA. You know, there are a couple, you know, there are certain times when you have just really have to say goodbye and go your separate ways. And this podcast is really going to talk about the many, many reasons why you should consider getting rid of that TPA. And like I said, Dan Venturi is going to join us just in a brief moment. And we're back with Dan Venturi. Dan, how are you?
I'm doing well, sir. How was your week, Ari?
I can't complain. You know, we're still getting ready for LA in 2 weeks as we speak. That 4RK conference at Dodger Stadium, February 22nd. Go to that 4RKsite.com for further information. Then we got the events in St. Pete on March the 7th and 8th. Still working on it. We got Atlanta April 12th, Kansas City May 3rd, June the 12th, 14th for Denver, and, you know, working on some other dates. I just got back a proposal from Gillette Stadium, which looks nice for October, and some other stuff. And, of course, go to that 401ksite.com to sign up. Didn't I send you a picture of the room for Dodger Stadium?
You did.
It's gonna be interesting because actually you're gonna speak in the corner. So it's an interesting room and it looks really, really nice. So for all the advisors out there, $100 gets you lunch, meet and greet with Steve Garvey and a Dodger Stadium tour. So we're looking forward to that. This week's topic. The times when a 401k plan sponsor may have to fire their TPA. Dan, you're a TPA. I used to work for a few. I have to work in conjunction with a few as an ERISA attorney. There are a lot of times when a plan sponsor really does need to fire their TPA, and there are quite a few times that they don't. And there are really odd excuses as to when people do fire their TPAs. You know, I always talk about the architectural firm in, I don't know if they were Tennessee or whatever it was. And the HR director was against us from day one. Apparently, the previous TPA did a lot of work for her on the side that they, you know, that they did as a favor, and she was upset with that. And, you know, lo and behold, push came to shove. We eventually got fired, and that was probably the reason. She found any excuse she could to get rid of us. And I think what had happened was all of a sudden somebody talked to them about a 401k SOP, like an ESOP. 401k with an ESOP feature. They, instead of sending me, who knew a thing or two about that, they sent in my boss, who then I think bombed the presentation and we got fired as a result. So that's the one thing that sticks in my mind. But, you know, there are a lot of reasons why TPAs get fired and a lot of bad reasons. But this time we're going to talk about the great reasons as to why you really have to.
Yeah, I mean, some of them are real obvious. You know, I think those are probably the more pressing ones that we should talk about. Others are, you know, things beyond your control. An acquisition, you know, the entire C-suite was changed, and, you know, there's no connectivity to you, the TPA. There are a number of reasons.
Yeah, I mean, the first things first, the first excuse as to, first reason why you need to fire your TPA is, you know, their fees are unreasonable. You know, you're a plan sponsor, you're a plan fiduciary, you got to pay only reasonable plan expenses. And if you figure out your TPA is charging way too much for the services provided, you know, you got to either negotiate with them or fire them. You know, You can't violate your duty as a plan fiduciary by keeping on a TPA that you know is expensive or, you know, is too expensive for the services they provide.
Yeah, that's a big one, especially in today's world. I mean, record keeping is so commoditized that, you know, if you're an outlier, you should get fired, quite frankly.
Yeah, and as plan sponsor, if you since you have this fiduciary duty to pay only reasonable plan expenses, with these fee disclosure regulations, if you fail, if you really, you know, held to violate it, it's always possible that the Department of Labor or the, you know, IRS can say, you know, this transaction you got here is a prohibited transaction. especially when when you didn't actually when you even didn't get the fee disclosure the fee disclosures, because as a plan sponsor you actually have to get them, and if you didn't get them from your plan provider you actually have to go out and ask for it. And so, you know, a plan sponsor really can't afford, especially these days when they exactly know how much you're being charged, they just can't keep on a TPA that's just making too much money. Of course, the next one is, you know, they're making too many plan errors. You know, plan sponsors need to realize that if their TPA makes a mistake, yeah, the TPA is at fault, but ultimately, the plan sponsor is on the hook for liability. So, you know, when the TPA screws up on a top-heavy test and it's, you know, 3 years later and a top-heavy contribution is required, the plan sponsor can't say, well, I think the TPA should pay for that. You know, if it was done correctly, the plan sponsor would have paid for it at that time. Now they actually have to, you know, still make the contribution plus have any earnings adjustment for the length of time it took to put that top-heavy contribution in. But plan sponsors need to realize that unless they're, you know, using the TPA as a 316 administrator, they are on the hook for liability for the day-to-day administration of plans. So when something gets fouled up, they're the ones that are going to be on the hook for it. So,
yeah, I mean, I'm laughing because I just had a call with a client today that was upset, and this was a new one for me personally, but the client was upset that we got the notices out but didn't tell him we were doing it. So he had no idea that the notices were required, and he was sure as hell glad that we got them out, but he was upset I didn't tell him that I was getting them out. So,
TPA gets does all the work and gets all the blame. That's what I always say.
It is absolutely incredible.
You know, it's always your fault, no matter what. So it was your fault that you got them out. And because you didn't, I understand people like to be informed of these things, but you know what? It was a piece of paper, you know? You know, that's more of a control issue than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's one of those things where sometimes, you know, the client just knows more than you do, and you just take a step back and worry about, you know, the clients that know less than you do and appreciate your services.
Well, exactly. But, you know, plan sponsors depend on their TPA. So they're depending on them doing a good job. And, you know, when they fail to file the 5500, when they do the compliance testing incorrectly, or when they misallocate, you know, contribution to plan participants, a plan sponsor really can't afford to keep a TPA on like that. You know, you know, it reminds me, you know, Billy Joe Bob Briggs played this really dumb manager of the slot machines in Casino. And De Niro, Lefty Rosenthal, the real person in Casino is Lefty Rosenthal. Sam Ace Rothstein is the character that Robert De Niro plays in Casino. And you know, De Niro's like, you know, Sam is like incredulous that he has to keep this guy on. After making all these mistakes. And, you know, it reminds me, you know, you can't be like that with your TPA. TPA, even the best, make a mistake here or there. As long as they discovered it early and it's infrequent, that's fine. But when you have a TPA that's constantly dropping the ball, you know, it's time to just, you know, not take things personally and just say, you know, listen, it's time to say goodbye and you know. That's really it.
Yeah.
You can't afford to keep them on. It was always a funny line in the Dark Knight movie. You know, we're having tryouts. The Joker was talking about we're having tryouts. You can't have tryouts for TPAs. They either do a good job or they don't. And if they don't do a good job, you really have to cut them off at the knees and just, you know, move on. Because you really can't deal with the liability and the headaches that go along with a TPA that's committing all these errors. So it's really just, you know, there's a certain point where, you gotta go a different route. And, you know, you don't need, I always talk about this poor lady who had a defined benefit plan, and she had an actuary for 25 years, never did a valuation report. It gave her really poor advice that the Department of Labor was to the point where they thought that she was stealing money from her own plan, which she wasn't. And, you know, she said to me, oh, I trusted him, this, this, and that. But, you know, he gave you no reason to trust him. He wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing. He never gave you a valuation report to tell you whose benefit was what. He gave you really bad advice. And you know what? TPA doesn't have to be your friend. The TPA shouldn't be your friend. The TPA is a service provider like anybody else. And if they screw up, hasta la vista.
Hasta la vista. Moving on.
Exactly. Another one, you know, I think when your TPA has too much turnover among employees, where every 3 to 6 months they're introducing you to their new plan contact, I think that's a bad sign. You know, you may not necessarily have the same contact forever because, you know, the way the business goes, there's always a change and people move on. But I always think that when a TPA has too much turnover, so every 3 to 6 months it's an introduction to somebody new, it really tells you that there really is a problem over there. It's, to me, a sign that the business is really having a problem maintaining their staff. Maybe they're not paying their staff well. Maybe they're, you know, driving them like slaves. I don't know what it is, but, you know, if you're working for a TPA, working with a TPA, and you're constantly having to go through the process of, you know, meeting somebody new, it just, you know, plan sponsor really is dependent on that one person, that one point of content, and they want to be comfortable with that person. But when there's constantly turnover, it's not fun.
Yeah, well, it erodes that sense of trust, one. And the other thing I think it does is it affects the institutional memory, right? That person that was there for the plan, you know, for a while knows where the bodies are buried, so to speak. And it's tough when you have to start over. And someone new is doing that for you. So, I mean, we try real hard to keep our folks on the same accounts. Sometimes, inevitably, I think their personality clashes or there are other issues where you move folks around. But for the most part, to your point, Ari, continuity is really important.
Well, yeah, from the TPA standpoint, because dealing with the TPA, you know, on their end, if they have constant turnover, that's expensive because, you know, to train people and to get them on board, it's you know, it's a really terrible thing. And, you know, if people are constantly leaving, it's a sign to the plan sponsor that, again, like, there is something wrong. Obviously, if you're, you know, if you're a plan sponsor and your day-to-day contact is promoted, you know, look, that's a great thing. You know, obviously, that point of contact, that, you know, that administrator was doing such an effective job that they bumped them up. But, you know, like I said, it's a point of concern, and it may give you, you know, the plan sponsor pause that, you know, maybe they should, you know, look things closely and maybe consider, you know, that there might, you know, need to be a change because, again, it just, you know, too much turnover, too much upheaval, and it's just not a sign that, you know, that everything's all right. And as a plan sponsor, you have to be really knowledgeable about what's going on. And when there's constant turnover, to me, there's a sign that there really is something fundamentally wrong within the inner workings of the TPA and or the culture of the place. So, listen, you know, I used to work for a TPA that used to joke that we should have installed a revolving door in the front because there was constant upheaval and constant changes. But listen, this is the business we've chosen, but you know, too much turnover is not good. And of course, the next reason why you might consider firing your TPA, well, the TPA is really reactive, not proactive. I see that with, you know, testing issues, with you know, updates in the law. I mean, testing issues to me is the forefront. You know, if you're a plan sponsor and you're constantly failing the, you know, ADP, ACP, 401k, you know, discrimination testing, you know, maybe top heavy, And if your plan provider, that TPA, doesn't tell you exactly that, you know, maybe you should have discussions about safe harbor or, you know, some other mechanism to kind of curb that failure, that's to me a sign of, again, not a very good TPA. I always use this example because it's always a funny story of mine. We, many years ago when I was working at a TPA, a payroll provider was the TPA for this potential client. And the person who owned the company, she had $12,000 worth of deferrals, $10,500 had to get refunded because of a failure on the ADP test. Now, if the TPA, the payroll provider, bothered to tell her that with the $7,500 QNEC, they'd be able to fix everything, and going forward, maybe she should have a safe harbor plan design, you know, that would have been good. And they didn't. And so that eventually became a client of ours. And I always mention that client because I always remember it. You know, the days before I had kids, this was a client that did all the, like, the toys and marketing for the kids' meals for, you know, some of these fast food places. And I always remember that. Like Subway and Wendy's and some of the other restaurants. And I also remember it because the woman had a small dog in her office. And the small dog pooped on, like, the carpet in the conference room. You always remember those things.
Oh, yeah. That's an interesting, you know, you walk into a conference room with your coffee, you're ready to talk about business, and you see some dog poo on the floor. It changes your entire perspective.
Did you stop? Yeah, I don't know if it changed perspective, but it was amusing to see that happen. And, you know, she's, you know, trying to clean up after the dog. But, you know, we did get them as a client. We put in a safe harbor the following year, and all those testing issues went bye-bye. But had she stuck around with, you know, the payroll provider and keep on refunding, you know, five digits of deferrals, that wouldn't have been good. But, again, if... you need a TPA that's proactive, not reactive, fixing things before they break rather than trying to fix things after they break. A good TPA is really conscientious, really straightforward, upfront, informative about any law changes, plan changes, anything down the pike that could really resolve problems before they arise. And again, testing failures, not discussing some of the alternatives out there, not a good thing. So that's really, you know, that's really, again, another sign that maybe the TPA should get fired. And another one is there's a lack of communication from the TPA. If you're only hearing from your TPA once a year, I think that's a bad sign. Your TPA, you know, needs to be in constant contact with you. You know, it could just be telling you of the upcoming deadlines or information about, you know, census information they need, or just say, hi, how are you? Or just a newsletter to tell you all the changes that are going on in the world of 401k plans. You know, you're paying a TPA thousands and thousands of dollars in expenses. So there's nothing wrong from you to expect the TPA to reach out and connect with you from time to time when need be. Again, talking to your TPA once a year, I think that's too little, especially in a daily-valued 401k world. You know, that's just my...
No, great. And you're right. It's trite and it's platitude and all that fun stuff, but communication is pretty important, and it's definitely a recurring theme. I think on this podcast we talk about it all the time. You know, whether you're an advisor or 316, a TPA, an ERISA attorney, you're going to want to talk to your clients, right? You're going to want to have a rapport. You're going to want to, you know, I'm not saying send their kids birthday cards, but you know, you're going to want to know a little bit about them and have some connectivity there. It's crucial if you want to have a good, long-lasting client relationship.
Right. I mean, if your TPA is in the witness protection program because they're, you know, out of sight, they might as well be out of mind. You need you know, again, to be have somebody to look after you, and you're paying them, again, thousands and thousands of dollars. There's nothing wrong with it. Expect to, you know, reach out to you at least quarterly. They don't have to send out a weekly newsletter. They just, you know, need to, you know, show you that what's going on, you know, what's the 402G limit for the following year, that sort of stuff, you know?
Sure. Yeah. Right. Let's talk about the new hardship laws.
Yeah.
Did your TPA tell you you don't have to suspend contributions anymore? I mean, that's a little tidbit that you would have hoped your TPA shared with you.
Exactly. So, you know, you need to be in constant communication with them. You know, like, and when I mean constant, hear from them once in a while. It's really important, and you know, that's really it. You know, in terms of the reasons, these are just, you know, good enough reasons. I mean, you know, you got to avoid the stupid reasons why you fire TPA, but concentrate on, you know, the important stuff. You know, a stupid reason to fire TPA is if they were bought out by somebody. I just had that with a client who the TPA was bought by a larger outfit, and you know, the client was, is this a bad thing? This, you know, just very nervous and very jittery about it. But you know, they were bought out by a very well-established other plan provider, and you know, there's no reason to panic and fire them just because of something like that. Fire them for a good reason, you know, screwing up with the plan, day-to-day administration, not communicating with you, being reactive rather than proactive. These are the reasons why you should fire them, you know, and that's really it. And, you know, the reasons that we listed are just reasons that, you know, are all about limiting a plan sponsor's liability. Again, too many plan errors, plan sponsor at fault. You know, testing problems because the plan TPA was not proactive, that's, again, going to sit on the neck, hang it around the neck of the plan sponsor. And, you know, unreasonable fees, obviously, that's going to be a plan sponsor problem. And that's why these are the reasons, as we discussed, why you need to fire the TPA. So that's it, I think, for this week's episode.
Short, sweet, to the point. Super excited about LA. I just booked my travel myself. Yeah, looking forward to getting out in the warm weather. And
I saw this week it's only 60-something degrees, so hopefully it warms up in 2 weeks.
Let's hope.
Exactly.
Let's hope. We almost had 60 here. I don't want to go.
Exactly. I don't want to wear a jacket. I saw people... somebody from who used to be in the WWE, she was there. Trish Stratus, I saw on Twitter, she was there. I'm like, she's wearing, like, you know, a ski hat, and you know, just with jackets and long pants and all that kind of stuff. So it was pretty funny to see that. So that's it until next week, and of course, sign up for that 401k conference if you're an advisor. Okay, take care. Bye bye.
See you guys. Have a good one.